Welcome to Ray and Tay today. Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. I'm Tall Rayside. That's Ray from Ray and Tay Today.
I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and yeah, we're rocking long distance. We told you Ray's globetrotting, so we'll just have to check the connection, man. He's a big dude doing it on the honeymoon, international globetrotting, but you know what? We're here. It's game seven. It's Heat Pacers and Ray and Tay today. You know, bringing you a little bit of stuff, but we're bringing you that. So give us a call, 718-664-9098. We thank you for your emails. We got some stuff from some Pacer fans, NBA fans, some stuff on the retiring of Jay Kidd and Grant Hill. So we'll get maybe to an email or two, but it's at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. The website is rayandtaytoday.com, where we've got so much stuff going on, poll questions, and make sure you vote on whether or not you think even like Dwight Howard, is he going to come back to the Lakers? Because right now, that could even be in question. So, again, tweet at us, Facebook us, and, you know, we got an exciting show. Ray, man, you know, in Laos and Bangkok, Thailand, all over the world, are they excited for Game 7? What's going on, man? Tell them what we're doing today. Yeah, well, like I said, there's Ray's sort of in and out a little.
Yeah, can you hear me?
But that's all right. I hear you now.
Can you hear me? Yeah, they're excited. Yeah, they're definitely excited. Although, like the rest of the NBA, you know, we appreciate basketball because we're basketball fans. They want to see LeBron win. In fact, LeBron James. Yeah, they want to see LeBron win. They want to see the Heat in the finals. They don't want to see the Pacers. So,
and is that what the commissioner wants too, right, Ray?
Pacers.
Let's be honest.
Exactly.
For the ratings, the commissioner, the NBA want that too, man.
And look, San Antonio's won four championships, right, in the past since '99. But San Antonio's not a good TV draw. Certainly, you know, this San Antonio team. So the NBA desperately wants the Heat in that finals matchup.
Yeah. Well, San Antonio is, like they said, one of the, I guess in the NBA, one of the third smallest TV markets in the country. So obviously the glamour and the story is Duncan and the Spurs against Miami, and Miami's all the ratings. Pacers, the, you know, young up-and-coming team, that would not be, you know, what everybody's looking for, but hey, whatever, you know. So before we jump into that, man, let's talk about a little bit of some of this breaking news stuff. I mean, look, Ray and Tay, Sports Heals, Sports Cares, and we send out our love and prayers to Jim Kelly, announced that he has upper jaw cancer today. The great quarterback, Hall of Fame quarterback for the Buffalo Bills and played in the USFL Houston Gamblers. Looks like he's going to be okay, Ray, so that's good to hear. And, you know, Kelly is so philanthropic and always does so many different things. And now people have got to, you know, just sort of send out their love and prayers for a legendary quarterback who should be
right,
okay.
Right, his son,
you know.
Right, he had to deal with medical issues with his son, and now it's
that's
him.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely love goes out to the Kelly family.
Yeah. Yeah. And just real quick before we get into more of the basketball stuff, I mean, also we got to send prayers to my Steeler offensive lineman who was attacked by three men. I think it was in the South Side, I believe in Chicago. I'm not too sure, or could have been Pittsburgh, but I don't remember where it was. Mike Adams. Looks like he's going to be okay. He was stabbed, right? So, gosh, you know, just wish him all the best. And you know, on the football side, Mike Adams, who played at Ohio State with the Steelers, and, you know, thank God he's okay. I mean,
The only thing I can think of here is Paul Pierce, who had that same, you know, similar attack in Boston, got stabbed multiple times, but ended up bouncing back and being healthy and having a great Hall of Fame career. So, yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, and then we got to worry about our guy, Ray. We got to send more prayers out to our guy, Mookie Blaylock. I don't know if he's still in, you know, if he's stable.
A homicide charge.
or critical condition. Yeah, it was a car accident. So, you know, Mookie, I just hope Mookie, you know, can pull through with that. A lot of little tidbits going on. Ray, I got to laugh, man, because we spoke about this on our show with Rock Nation Sports, but Jay-Z is, like, taking over. He just signed DeSean Jackson, got Robinson Cano, Victor Cruz, and then there was rumors of, you know, maybe a reality show, not a reality show, all this foolishness, and he said no on Twitter. He never wanted to do it, even though he was quoted as saying of doing it. But, you know, Jay-Z is really, you know, I guess once he relinquishes the ownership of the Nets, he is signing a lot of athletes pretty quickly, man. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, you know, he always was an entrepreneur, right? He's more than a rapper. He's more than an entertainer. And once he gets a bug in his head, I seduce him, he's doing it full steam ahead. He's in
big
fifth
time.
Year. And the best thing for him was to be associated with the Nets, but then to drop out of the NBA. So from an ownership perspective, so he doesn't have any limitations. And let's just see where his talents and his abilities take him as an agent. And again, we talked about this a little bit on air and a little bit off air, that what he brings to the table, you know, may be good for everybody, because he is one of these guys that will get the athletes their endorsements. And so he won't be known probably as a Scott Boras type agent who wants to get every last cent from the team, but he
right.
might be able to get the players the best deal possible. Say, leave a little money on the table for the team, have more to give the players, but I'll make it up to you and more
off the field. Yeah, off the court and off the field, yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's a great assessment, Ray. I think you're right about that, and it should be interesting to see how it plays out, and you know, we'll see. But I got to say, man, you know, real quick with the hockey, man, we'll see what the Kings can do when they go back home. And hopefully Jonathan Quick will, you know, come back in and be the goaltender that he is and all that. But Chicago Blackhawks are up 2-0. The Bruins are up 1-0, and they play tonight against the Penguins. Man, it's looking like we're going to see Chicago, Boston. This is interesting, even, you know, as the hockey playoffs are winding up. And, you know, Ray and Tay, we talk a little bit about everything. But those Blackhawks, Ray, they're on fire now.
Well, you know, in the beginning of the season, everybody thought that it was their trophy to win, or lose, I should say, with the
lose,
trophy
yeah.
they had. So I'm just glad that both of these teams are, you know, doing this. I mean, these are the last two defending champs, so they're both looking like, you know, they're on a collision course for each other, and that's great for the NHL also to have, you know, two original six teams play. That'd be a nice little treat.
It would be, man. And then Ray, over the weekend, the legendary, the great gentleman, they're both fitting that they're coming in and going out together. Grant Hill announced his retirement right a couple hours before Game 6. And then today, Jason Kidd announced his. And, you know, they came in with Big Dog, but the two of them got co-rookie of the years. And you couldn't find, you know, hey, nobody's perfect. You know, Jay Kidd had his personal issues or whatever. But I think overall, in terms of on the court, two not just versatile, amazing players, but just, you know, professionals. And I just wish them well. Jay Kidd looks like he wants to get into coaching and broadcasting. Grant Hill might do the same. I guess real quick before we get into the other basketball stuff, just what do you think about their careers? I think obviously we know Jay Kidd's a Hall of Famer. We ranked him 4 or 5, you know, all-time, you know, top point guards. When you look at his final stats, you know, he's second in all-time in assists and second all-time in steals. And basically, Ray, he averaged 13 points a game, 2 steals a game, 8 assists, and 6.7 rebounds for his career, and all the intangibles, the Olympic gold medals twice, the championship. How do you feel about Jason Kidd, man, ending it today with the Knicks?
Well, this guy was a Hall of Famer. And what's great about Jason Kidd is that the stat that really kind of seals the deal for me is his three-point shooting. So he came into the league like magic, couldn't shoot. Couldn't shoot free throws, couldn't shoot jumpers, couldn't shoot threes. But he could always dish out assists. And he did that throughout his career. From the middle of his career on, he developed kind of awkward-looking set shot three-pointer, but it goes in. And he really evolved his game. He never became the offensive player that Oscar Robertson is, but that's the guy who's closest in stature, right? That fairly big point guard who plays D, rebounds, steals. He doesn't have that offensive game. But short of that, the guy really was just a winner. He won a championship with Dallas. And like you said, two Olympic championships, and Mike Krzyzewski couldn't talk more, you know, highly about him. And for me, developing that three, developing that jumper to make him a threat from the outside, because we know about his defense, his rebound, his leadership, and his assist. So, yeah, kudos to Jason Kidd, definite Hall of Famer. Got to be in your top, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll do a show on top point guards, but definitely got to be in, you know, your top five, six, seven point guards.
We had Magic Oscar Stockton and then Kidd. We remember when we did our thing, we had him way back in the beginning of Ray and Tay. You know, we had him at four.
You might give Isaiah Thomas some love. We might give
you're right. We had Isaiah, and then we had Kidd at five. So we had Kidd at five. Isaiah, Stockton, then Kidd.
Yeah, exactly. In that range. So it was fantastic. And then, like you said, how fitting that Grant Hill, co-rookies of the year. I don't remember the last time we had co-anything, but co-rookies of the year in 95. And Grant Hill's career is totally different, right? Because Grant Hill was blessed with athleticism. And Grant Hill was blessed with being, you know, a superior athlete. And he probably had the best first 5 or 6 years of, you know, a very rare first 6 years that anybody had in the NBA, except for winning. It was static. What he did was unbelievable. There were a couple of years where he had sort of that Scottie Pippen type year where he led Detroit in every major statistical category. He was leading in points, rebounds, steals, blocks. I mean, this guy was doing everything. And then he had that ankle injury. So we also talked about this off air a little bit. What was his career business of that ankle injury? But even still, the guy was
You know what's interesting? We talked about that, and I was looking it up, Ray. After the ankle injury, he never scored 20 a game. His best was 19 a game. And I think that was one of the years that he was healthy in Orlando. Or the last year, I think it might have been that last year in Detroit. I got to double check it. But interestingly enough, he never got to 20 a game again. And it is frustrating. And we talked about it with Seth Davis when he was on our air, you know, one of the nicest guys. And I saw him dunk on my Maryland Terrapins live, Maryland versus Duke. You know, he and Penny both injured, but before Kobe and LeBron, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls out there, we have, you know, young teenagers that listen to our show as well. Just so you know, Grant Hill and Penny Hardaway, Anthony to you, they were sort of that conversation of the next Jordan before Kobe and LeBron. And really, the injuries took both of these guys out, and it is just so, you know, frustrating and a shame. But the question I got to ask you is, because he wound up with, you know, almost like, I just had his stats up. But he had, you know, he wound up with 16 a game, I think 6 rebounds, like 4 assists, almost, you know, a steal and a change. Can Grant Hill, can he get in the Hall of Fame, Ray? When you look at the scope of his whole career.
So we started to talk about this, and the problem is that the first five for his candidacy is that the first 5 or 6 years of his career he was a lock Hall of Famer, and if his career had ended because of injury, then maybe you give him the benefit of the doubt. But then he had another 11, 12 years where he was not a Hall of Famer. And it's not like it was at the end of his career, but his last 2 years, his production dropped off. So because of an injury and because his game sort of changed, eventually age caught up to him, he had two-thirds of his career where he was a solid player, and then the last third of his career just a role player. So to me, Grant Hill is great, and Grant Hill is a player, and just his game, versatile, athletic, everything you'd want. but I don't think he dominated long enough to be a Hall of Famer. So even though his first 5 or 6 years, look it up, was fantastic, and he was first team All NBA 5 years. So this dude was unreal, but he, no, I don't think so. I think that standard of Hall of Fame means you dominate throughout your career, and that wasn't Grant Hill for long enough.
Well, the one thing I would point out, though, just remember our boy, whose career ended early, Bernard King, he did make it. So there is and will be a lot of love and hope and respect for Grant Hill. So just consider that. So look, let's get into it, man. We're on the tip-off show. You know, it's game seven. Real quick, game six. You know, we both had the Heat, you know, winning the series and stuff like that. But the Pacers, give them kudos. Paul George and Hibbert, the one thing I wanted to say to you is I really feel that George Hill was the key. He got 16-6. Stevenson played the defense. You know, Wade and Bosch were trying to find them. They haven't made it to the arena in a couple of games. But I think Hibbert and George are becoming stars. And people might say, like Barkley said, oh, Hibbert's doing it because the Heat have no size. But I think Hibbert was starting to show that against Chandler. And I just think his offensive game and his confidence has really stepped him up. David West with the flu and sick and a fever, Ray, that was a heroic performance. Just, you know, what he did on the boards and getting you a couple baskets. But how do you feel where Paul George is now? Because, to be honest, even though Wade's banged up and Bosch has disappeared, still, they added Ray Allen and Rashard Lewis. The Pacers lost Danny Granger, and the Pacers are in a Game 7 now this year. I think Paul George is really – he's at the table now with the big boy pants. What do you think about that?
Yeah, look, he made the All-Star team, right? And he made third team All-NBA, and he deserves all of that. And like we talked about with Hill, Paul George is one of these athletic wingmen that is talented. I mean, he's just not just athletic. I mean, he's talented. You could argue that he's doing more. You know, last game, what did he have, 28, 8, and 5, and 3 steals? I mean, this guy is doing what he's doing with his athletic ability that, you know, propels him to be an all-star. I mean, we talk about Blake Griffin, you know, living up to his athleticism and living up to his first pick overall. But if you look at the trajectory that Paul George is on, I mean, they might have to rethink – you know, Danny Granger being the star of that team is Paul George's team.
It's Paul George's team, definitely. Yeah.
This guy, from 1 year to the next, has really made an unbelievable improvement. And he is your, you know, prototypical, long, athletic, you know, 6'7", 6'8", swingman who, you know, for some, I don't know if it's Frank Vogel, and I don't know if it's them playing with each other. I don't know if it's just Indiana, that, like, tough Midwest, you know, mentality. But these guys are all getting it on, and starts with Paul George. I mean, he's, you know, Roy Hibbert gives him a little meanness and toughness up front, and David West and Hansbrough and all those guys. But ultimately, this team goes as Paul George goes. And he's going. He is going, and he's a nightmare for the Heat because he is long and athletic and he can hang with LeBron and Wade athletically and he can score on them and he can defend. So he's exactly, you know, size obviously with Hibbert and, you know, athleticism on the wing with Paul George. That's exactly what the Heat don't see. And that's why we're at a game 7 in 15 minutes.
Well, you know, and I got to just say this, man. I mean, for me, tonight, for the Pacers to win on the road, you're going to need to continue to bang it inside. But I still believe and feel and you know, and said it for game 6. George Hill, him and Lance Stephenson, that game, that backcourt has got to travel on the road. They have got to show up. I think if George Hill can give you something like that 16-6, get his team involved, be active off the pick and rolls, you know, and really allow, you know, not to force the turnovers, right? Because him and Paul George and Lance Stephenson, they all get anywhere from 3 to 6 turnovers a game, and that's an issue. So if they can sort of keep the turnovers down, you know, get it into your big guys when you can, but hit those open shots. And Stevenson doesn't have to score, I think, for them. If you've got Hibbert and George scoring, and George Hill can get you even 13, Stevenson has just got to make sure that Dwayne Wade does not show up in Game 7 to the point where he's getting 20. I tell you this, if you see Dwayne Wade with 20, the Heat have won. Now, Dwayne Wade, his knee is a little bit more banged up than last year probably. He's not looking that healthy. But I think, Ray, he's going to be able to muster up one game where he can give you enough. And I can guarantee you, LeBron James, you might see, again, like 30, 10, and 10. You're going to see one of those crazy games. But I got to ask you, if Bosch gives you 7-5 or 7-3 again, are the Heat going to go home tonight?
Yes. So I think they will. Although, yeah, look, I think the Heat will win. But if Chris is the game he gave you last 51 minutes, I think he scored 5 points and 4 rebounds, you're going to lose because you need him up front more than anything, you know, and Udonis Haslam put up a zero. So even though LeBron James did his thing, that was it. It was LeBron James, and that's it, because Wade and Chalmers didn't do much. And then even off the bench, you know, Ray Allen and Norris Cole didn't do that much. But you need Chris Bosh. You need
and Battier with 1 point, right? Yeah, and you know what, though, we can't admit to it, Ray, but you know who they need, and he's back tonight. Birdman, as Shaq says. Birdman is the difference. Can you imagine that?
You know, we always knew that this team had a flaw, and it was, you know, interior offense and to some degree interior defense and rebounding, right? So it's the same flaw. It's just one side of the court. And this Indiana team can take advantage of it. You know, with West and Hibbert and Hansbrough and Paul George's athleticism on the wing, we talked about that a little bit. So these guys need to play. I mean, you can't just – if you're the Miami Heat, you can't just show up and win. And this Indiana Pacers team, remember, this is the second time they came huffing and puffing last year, and it took that 41-point game from Dwayne Wade. So Indiana's extremely confident. So I'm not saying they're going to win because I do think that Miami, the home court, you know, they worked all year for this home court. But they have to play. They don't just show up and win this game. And they need production, not only one or two guys from the bench. They need two of their big three to have above average games to win.
Yeah, I do agree. But let me ask you this, right? Do you think you're going to get something? I don't know. Chalmers, as they call him, Rio, has been sort of, you know, one game he gets 12 and a couple assists. The next game he does nothing. I think they need to play Norris Cole more. I think he does some things. I like his speed and sort of like his a little stocky aggressiveness against George Hill. I think he's important. But I got to tell you, Battier or Allen or Ray, like they did last game, they went to Mike Miller a little bit and he hit a couple of threes. One of them has got to open up the floor and hit some threes. You know, I just think somebody's got to knock down a couple of threes, and I don't know who is it going to be, but one of them has got to do it. But I think the Heat will win too, man. You know,
yeah,
I got to force
you to.
Yeah,
and the good thing again.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the one thing that this team does is they let Hibbert protect, right? So they don't. Smaller teams might have to double team and give help, and you know the Pacers do less of that with Hibbert. But you're right, a 3-point shooter. I mean, that's why they brought in Rashard Lewis to have Rashard Lewis, Ray Allen, Rashard Lewis, Mike Miller, Shane Battier, all of those guys on the wing. While you're so worried about Bosh, Wade, and James. Those three out there, I mean, obviously you can't play all of them, but that combination is deadly, even Norris Cole. But, you know, they're not hitting the shots in every other game. You know, on the off games, the games that Indiana's winning, they're not shooting well from the outside. They're not banging down those threes. But like we said, and like Barkley.
Yeah, I lost you there. But – the one thing I will say, and you know, it's so funny. everybody on ESPN is picking the Miami Heat, and it seems like only Barkley on TNT has got the Pacers. So we'll be back on either, you know, Thursday or Friday to, you know, give you a real preview of the finals. Either Thursday, you know, at 8 o'clock Eastern again, like tonight, or, you know, possibly Friday. But the finals start on Thursday, June 6th. I think they're Thursday, and Sunday is game two. So, but just in previewing them real quick, I got to say, if it's Heat Spurs, it's a classic. You know, I won't make a prediction yet, but I will say this. It is definitely, you know, a classic series. Duncan for his fifth to revenge LeBron. LeBron would be going for 2-2. If he loses, he'd be 1-3 in the finals, and he's 0-1 against Duncan. So everyone and their mom wants to see Heat Spurs. And, you know, you still got the size. You got the Parker. You've got all the stars. But if the Pacers can win tonight, you've got small market, like, universe in the world is flipped upside down. A shocking upset. Pacers, without Granger, versus the Spurs, you know, and, like, a lot of people have said, hey, I don't know, it could be 50-50 in that series. But that's going to be fascinating, too, to see how that could potentially play out. Ray and Tay, we both got the Heat and Spurs, and then, you know, I would think the Heat would be able to win that one in 6 or 7, but who knows? And, you know, Spurs against the Pacers, I don't know, Ray. Are you back yet?
Well, yeah, I'm back. Sorry about
okay.
the technical difficulties, but...
yeah, so I was telling them...
We both got the Heat.
Yeah.
So, just one parting thought. What is it that... Obviously, the NBA wants the Spurs and the Heat. As a basketball fan, if you want a good game tonight, what are you looking for? What's your key? Well, you know, one key for each team.
Honestly, I don't know about Wade's health. So I would say it's got to be Bosch aggressive, being aggressive. He's got to get me 8 to 12 boards. I know Birdman will help and Haslam will wake up. But I'm going to look to, like I said, if Wade gets 20 and his knee's going, they'll win. But Bosch, I want to see a double-double. And then for the Pacers, I think Hibbert, you know, obviously we didn't even get into the slur or whatever that he had said, you know, whatever, that's in the past. But hopefully it doesn't get, you know, affects him in his mind. He apologized and all that. But I think Hibbert has got to stay consistent. Hibbert, you could argue, because he's not LeBron, has been the best player in the series, most consistent, you know, because, you know, we didn't expect those from him, but averaging almost 23-11 in the series, he's been incredible. And so to me, it's George Hill controlling the game and keeping down the turnovers, and, you know, Hibbert staying consistent, because I know Paul George is going to play ball. You know, I know Paul George, you know, these guards have got to travel. The pace of guards have got to show up in Miami, man. It's going to be awesome, Ray. I'm hyped up. I know you're hyped in Laos for game 7, you know. So, now listen, I know your international travels, man. Tell the audience, are we back on Thursday or Friday? Where are we at with international globetrotting?
Yeah, stay tuned. Well, hopefully we're back on Thursday night.
Right before the finals.
Some NBA Finals preview. Gosh, can you believe the finals? That means basketball is going to be over. But don't worry, folks. We'll get you through it. We'll talk baseball. We'll get you ready. There's some NFL mini camps and OTAs. And
yeah, mini camps start tomorrow, right? That's kind of wild, man. NFL, you know,
man,
Dwight Freeney
I got,
was like, hey,
I got,
collusion. They're not signing us old guys, but he just got his deal. So it's definitely interesting. And, yeah, we will hopefully be back for you Thursday night. Watch the game tonight. You know, Ray, I'm conflicted. I'm picking the Heat, but, you know, I can't be upset if the Pacers earn it, right? You know? But I want to see LeBron and Duncan.
So basketball.
It would be great for basketball,
so
but we all want to see LeBron versus Duncan, don't we? Spurs, Heat.
Yeah, rematch of 07. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we had a blast. Thanks for listening.
Tipping it off. Another great show. And, you know, everybody, you know, keep listening. Come to our website. You know, the real email I got real quick, is that, you know what, now that Jason Kidd has retired, maybe the Knicks can re-sign Nate Robinson. What do you think about that? And that's from Tara from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Ah, we got to get that in at the end. Thank you, Tara. Nate coming back to the Knicks? You never know,
true.
Ray. We'll talk about that
Knicks
next show.
Knicks are not ready for that.
Knicks are not ready. You know, game's tipping off. We're out of here. We're done. We'll probably be back Thursday night, the NBA Finals. Enjoy the Game 7. Let's go Heat. Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends. We're out from Scottsdale and Laos. Peace.